who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
A warm and friendly hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Just Good Seats with myself, Greggy Peterson, now part of the Easton Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you as right now what is taking over college basketball is these NBA draft decisions. We are sort of prisoner to what is going to be happening the next week and a half or so with regards to these guys staying and going, because that'll likely cause for a second wave in the transfer portal. A lot of teams are holding on to a scholarship or two, whether it is to pursue a lot of these guys that are in the NBA draft that might be entering into the transfer portal, or are just holding on to that roster spot in general in hopes that they're going to be coming back. And of all the teams that have a lot to gain slash lose with these NBA draft decisions, I feel like Kentucky is one of the biggest on the forefront, so we're really going to be focusing on them today, and we've got a great guest joining me in segment number two to be able to break it down. Anna Tarullo, she does great work over at Big Blue Nation tonight, BBN tonight. She does absolutely amazing work taking a look at the SEC. I can tell you that I already did the interview with her. Some of the best insights I've gotten out of an interview that I've done all offseason long. She really knows her stuff. She's going to be joining me in segment number two. We're going to be taking a look at the decisions of Oscar Tshiebwe, Antonio Reeves, and Chris Livingston, what that means for Kentucky. The fact that Kentucky really has not picked up anyone in the transfer portal, and we're going to be taking a look at the entirety of the SEC. We've been noticing that a lot of these SEC teams, they've been trying to bring in a little bit of shooting here in the transfer portal. We're going to get her thoughts on sort of that movement and how Kentucky maybe has been a little bit of a loser in the fact that the SEC in general has become much better in college basketball in recent years. I can tell you with being with the official flagship station of the Vanderbilt Commodores back when they were in the first four during the 2016 NCAA tournament. Just three teams from the SEC made the tournament that year. Vanderbilt in the first four being one of them. This is a conference that has really been able to rise up. So we're going to get our thoughts on that and so much more. And then in the final segment, we saw quite a few players make their NBA draft decisions known. We saw quite a few guys move around the college basketball landscape, including a former four-star recruit deciding to change his commitment to Georgia Tech. So we've got a lot to talk about in the final segment with the news and notes of college basketball from Friday. And if you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Really did not get in any Twitter questions today, but we had a great interview with Anna Tarullo, and you're going to hear that next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Easton Family Podcast.
Selected number one. Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to become a winning sports bettor? Schedule a call with SBIA to find out how their service can make you a long-term winning player. They've developed an innovative algorithm that maximizes units return, and they are so confident in their system that they offer a money-back guarantee. Sign up by October 31st and get their MBA package at no cost until they reach 10 net units. They treat sports betting like a business. So if you want to learn how to make your sports betting dreams a reality, visit them at SBIA1.com and check them out on social media at SBIA Sports.
Las Vegas for with myself, Greg Gibbs Peterson, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. Great to be joined by this guest as we go out to the southeast part of the country. And Anna Tarullo, I know, is doing a great job over there taking a look at Big Blue Nation and taking a look at Kentucky. She does a great job with the show BBN Tonight, which you're able to find if you're out there in the southeast part of the country. She's doing a great job taking a look at Kentucky and really the entirety of the SEC, as I actually used to do a little bit of hosting myself out in Nashville, Tennessee. I can tell you that if you cover one beat in the SEC, you cover the entirety of the conference. And it does an absolutely terrific job on that front end. You're able to follow her on Twitter at Tarullo Tweets. That is spelled T-A-R-U-L-L-O. And then the word tweets all together. And Anna, it's great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to join you and talk some hoops. I know you mentioned before we got going that with the transfer portal and everything, basketball, as exactly you said, college hoops is now a 12-month kind of season to talk about. And, you know, never a dull moment, especially at Kentucky with the talent coming in and out there.
Absolutely. And I feel like Kentucky's been in a little bit of a holdout move with regards to the transfer portal, just because they've got a lot of guys that are going through the NBA draft process. Obviously, Oscar Tshiebwe, he is a big name. And I mean, if it wasn't for NIL, I think that Oscar Tshiebwe would have been as good as gone about 12 months ago. But it's a little bit of a different landscape in college basketball. Chris Livingston, he's obviously a big ticket item that is currently going through the process. Antonio Reeves, list goes on and on. Would you say that it's fair to say that out of all the NBA draft decisions and all the teams that are waiting on these NBA draft decisions, perhaps the team with the most to gain slash lose might be Kentucky over these next few weeks?
Oh, 100%. And I think that has been even more the case these past couple weeks. Looking at all that Kentucky has on the line in terms of what they could lose to the NBA draft, and what they've now lost in the transfer portal, not even their own guys going in the transfer portal, but losing out on recruits in the transfer portal. So a few weeks ago, there was a big kind of topic of conversation, you know, Hunter Dickinson, the Michigan transfer. I'm thinking, you know, if he comes to Kentucky and Oscar Tshiebwe stays, is there going to be room for the big guy there? Well, you know, Kentucky's really in a hard spot now because Hunter Dickinson, he chooses Kansas, and Oscar Tshiebwe has really been showing out at the combine. So now when it, you know, it was almost, what are we going to do with all of this talent? Now it's like, all right, well, who's going to play in the post now? So 100% Kentucky, I think they definitely have the most to lose right now to the NBA draft because of how they haven't been able to supplement their roster in the transfer portal these past couple of weeks. They missed out on a lot of big recruits that a lot of people thought would be shoe-ins, really. They haven't even added a single player from the transfer portal in this offseason. Kentucky hasn't. So I think building this roster, you know, as time goes on, you have less options. They've got a great recruiting class coming in, but I think it's even more meaningful now that Kentucky gets back maybe some of these guys, Oscar Tshiebwe, Antonio Reeves from the NBA draft, but you know, not quite sure if they will.
Yep, absolutely. And I do think that it's been so interesting the way that Kentucky has been gauging this offseason, because no doubt they were in on Hunter Dickinson. I felt like it was between them, Kansas, and I mean, people were talking about Maryland. He was someone that was from that area, but at the same time, I wasn't really thinking that Maryland was going to have as much NIL to be able to give him. So I didn't think that he was going to be able to go there. I thought that in the end it was going to come down to Kansas and Kentucky. He decides to go to Kansas, which no doubt that is absolutely massive for them. But how much do you think that Kentucky hasn't gone after a lot of guys in the transfer portal just because they are currently dealing with three different guys that are going through the NBA draft process? And a lot of times you have a sense as to whether a guy is going to stay or go. And I really think in all three of the cases between Livingston, Oscar Tshiebwe, and Antonio Reeves, there's a great question mark with all three of these guys.
For sure, absolutely. And I think especially the past couple days, Oscar Tshiebwe has proven himself very well at the combine and in a lot of the scrimmages, you know, put up a double-double and even had an opportunity to showcase some of his shooting. You know, I don't have any insider information on this, but I feel pretty confident that his stock is as high as ever right now. Even coming off his National Player of the Year season, I think he improved a lot his second season at Kentucky, and I think he's had a really successful combine and, you know, successful workouts. Chris Livingston, I mean, it would surprise me if he came back. That kid, he is already has an NBA player's body. He had one coming in to his freshman season at Kentucky. He has such a high upside. The way that he improved in just one season at Kentucky, he really became the spark for Kentucky. And from a freshman, that's pretty outstanding. He has great physical, you know, control of his body, body control, just a high energy, high spark guy. Antonio Reeves would be the one that I would be most likely to think would come back. But again, you don't know. I know this past season, it was up and down for Antonio, which a lot of the transfers that Cal has had the past 2 years, it's been like that. You know, getting Antonio Reeves from Illinois State, I think a lot of Big Blue Nation thought that he was going to be like Mr. Go-To, the shooter, the guy. And we saw that in their performance, you know, in their NCAA tournament game, where he just went cold in that second round. So I don't think he had necessarily the season he thought he would have last year. And you look before that, you know, Kellen Grady and a lot of those other transfers, Davion Mintz the year before. So I don't know. The transfer portal has been, I'd say, if you're going hit or miss, not necessarily a huge hit for John Calipari, I would say. Even look at Xavier Wheeler, how he performed. Not bad, but, you know, Kentucky's fan base is as critical as any. And I'm not sure, but Oscar, I think he does leave a lot on the table if he does go to the draft because, as you mentioned it, NIL money. You know, it'll be interesting to see what he does, but it was also interesting to see how the situation was handled while Hunter Dickinson was visiting. I think Oscar gave his blessing to Cal. He said, go build your roster. And, you know, if I come back, I come back. If I don't, I don't. And so that felt pretty good for a while. You know, it felt like we were feasting and now it's famine because, you know, we might not have anybody in the post there. But yeah, interesting. I don't know. And then with Lance Ware as well, you have him entering the transfer portal. I think that was very surprising. That was very, very surprising to me. That was a big one. So right now in the post, you know, you got a lot of great recruits coming in to Kentucky. They've got an exceptional class. You've got EJ Wagner, Rob Dillingham, Justin Edwards, Aaron Bradshaw, Reed Shepard. Aaron Bradshaw, 7-footer, but he said it himself. He's not really a five guy. He could play the four, but he's a great shooter, which is hysterical because they really need some height. They need a big man. You know, it's going to be interesting to see who their next targets are, who Calipari's next targets are in the portal.
Absolutely. And I do think that that is a big question on the mind for so many people. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Anna Tarullo, does a great job over at Big Blue Nation and Big Blue Nation Media, taking a look at the great game of college basketball, taking a look at all things Kentucky. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that Antonio Reeves. He's probably the person that's most likely to come back. And no doubt about it, Oscar Tshiebwe, he's the biggest one if he does decide to come back because, well, it's hard to replace 13 rebounds per game. You just don't see that very often in college basketball. But I think Antonio Reeves is so big because you mentioned with Xavier Wheeler. I mean, when he just really fell off the map for Kentucky last year, you could tell that Kentucky sort of had to build a little bit on the fly, the backcourt. It was a little bit hit or miss with this team. They are bringing in Robert Dillingham, who I think is going to be able to do a good job of being able to run the point for the team. DJ Wagner, he's sort of one of those jack of all trades sort of guy. He's a very good shooter, but he does a little bit of everything. Doesn't necessarily excel at anything other than shooting, in my opinion, but he's very good in so many aspects of just the backcourt game in general. But I take a look at Kentucky, and I do think one of the biggest needs for them is just being able to get a little bit more experience in that backcourt, because we were all expecting Xavier Wheeler to have a bigger year than he did last year. And now, as we sit here right now, he's actually going to Washington.
And it's interesting because typically I think the best John Calipari team perform with freshmen. Oh my gosh, I almost said quarterbacks, freshman point guards. If he gets his point guard in there, you look at John Wall. I think DJ Wagner really is a complete Cal point guard. I think he's just a dog, as we like to say. I think the past couple of years, you know, Cason Wallace was great. And there's been, you know, some really good guys in there, but I haven't seen a kid like DJ Wagner since maybe like Tyler Ulis. He's just got a dog in him. He comes in with a lot more confidence than your average freshman. So I think the backcourt, I have a lot of confidence in this backcourt, although they are just freshmen. But it's the front court. You know, Ugonna Onyenso, he is returning, but there was even some, I would say, sketchiness, you know, there. He entered the transfer portal for a brief amount of time and ended up coming back. You wonder what that was about. And he developed really well the first few months of last season. And then he kind of went a little bit MIA towards the latter part of the season. But if you look at this roster right now, the only guys who are guaranteed coming back who have stats as a Kentucky player are Ugonna Onyenso, who was in the portal for a bit, and Aju Thiero, who made leaps and strides last season, even just physically. I'd say it's funny because the two for certain guys that you're going to have on this roster next year who have already played, you know, in the Kentucky uniform were the biggest projects last season. I think Thiero will continue to develop and improve, even just physically. The steps he's made have been huge, but it's shaky ground right now, I would say. And it's just been extremely surprising. The other near misses, I know we've talked about Hunter Dickinson, but I think it's Keyshawn Johnson from, I think, Arizona is what he's, I don't know if he's publicly committed yet, but I think that's kind of where things are trending for him. The SDSU transfer, which was very surprising because he had his visit with Kentucky, I think, a week or two ago, and he was so impressed with the facilities. He even put up a little Instagram video in Cal's office and was like, "Give me a ring, coach." I thought all signs were pointing to the fact that we would maybe see him in some blue and white, that he would be a Cat. But yeah, surprisingly, he chooses Arizona. And then you have Chad Baker Mazzara, JUCO transfer, sharpshooter, and he picks Auburn over, you know, Kentucky was in the running there as well. So a lot of near misses, which I think is very surprising, especially out of those backcourt guys, because, you know, we've known that's kind of been a deficit for Kentucky for at least, you know, over a month or so. That's been very surprising to me. And of course, the talk the whole past year on campus, there's been a fight for money and facility upgrades for football and basketball. And, you got to wonder, you know, maybe Cal, there's some truth to him saying, you know, our facilities at Kentucky aren't up to par if you're losing guys like this in the transfer portal to other SEC schools.
And I'm so glad that you bring that up, because how much do you think that Kentucky has sort of been the deficitaries? And I always say deficitaries because you've got beneficiaries and then you got those that sort of lose out. So it's sort of a word I created myself on that. But how much like do you think they've lost a little bit just due to the fact that the SEC is such a better basketball conference than even a few years ago? I remember you go back to 2016, the SEC was only getting three teams in the NCAA tournament. And one of those teams was Vanderbilt, who was playing in the first four. The SEC has leaps and bounds been able to get so much better with so many of these coaching hires, like Nate Oates, what he's been able to do at Alabama, what Auburn has been able to build in recent years as well. How much do you think that that's actually hurt Kentucky a little bit, because this conference in general is just so much better than it was, say, 5 years ago?
Oh, my God. Yes, it's grown incredibly. And what's that word you used? I liked it.
Deficitaries.
Deficitaries, yeah. And, you know, you can't maybe pinpoint the factor of why that is, but the conference, you can't deny that they were the best conference throughout at least the regular season last year. And a lot of that's funny. It's interesting how things have trended. I'm not sure if it's transfer portal, if it's NIL opportunities, because, you know, you're at these big time football schools. There's different collectives there, but it's even the level of the game has increased so much in the SEC. And you mentioned Nate Oates. Awesome what he's done, just the style of play that he's brought to the conference. But you look at guys like Bruce Pearl, who have been in the SEC for decades, you know what I mean? And still, Auburn, he's having more success than I believe he had at Tennessee. At Auburn, he is. So it's like, you know, what is going on? Why are you so able to, why is there so much success in this conference right now? But yeah, I know Cal's one thing that he always likes to harp on is, you know, Kentucky's the gold standard. That's interesting. I know UK fans can get a bit tired of hearing that, but at this point, yes, historically, for sure, but they used to for sure be the gold standard in the SEC, absolutely. And, you know, they still are if you're looking at records, if you're looking at conference titles. But are they the gold standard in style of play, in recruiting, in, you know, success with the transfer portal? I wouldn't say they're a front runner for that right now. I think you bring up a really great point. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to watch how that evolves. I am very interested to see how Alabama evolves. You know, they were outstanding last year. I think Nate Oates, I like his style of play. You can argue whether it's successful in the NCAA tournament or not. You know, live by the three, die by the three. So much drama in that program last year. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that affects them this upcoming season. I do know, I think one sign of a successful staff, a successful head coach, is that your assistants get a lot of great opportunities. They get a lot of recognition. And I think what Nate Oates is looking for to build his roster on the most right now is assistant coaches. He doesn't have a single one right now. They've all gone and accepted head coaching jobs. So I think that's what he's looking for the most right now. But I'm going to be interested to see how he kind of carries on this next season without the talent of Brandon Miller. Just see how they kind of rebuild from that last year full of drama and craziness. And then Rick Barnes as well. They are an up and down team, Tennessee is, especially. I'll be interested to see if Rick Barnes can ever break the NCAA tournament curse and make a deep run and maybe get Tennessee their first Final Four.
And I'm so glad that you brought up Tennessee as well, because for one, they're dealing with a few guys in the NBA draft. What Julian Phillips along with Olivier Kamwa do, that is going to be a big intrigue for Tennessee, who's already brought in Dalton Connect. That's going to be able to help them out a little bit. But Tennessee is a poster child of this, as Anna Tarullo does great work as a host and reporter over at Big Blue Nation. Big Blue Nation tonight is going to be right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And that is the fact that in the SEC, I noticed there was one very distinct style last year, all about defense, all about being able to defend the three. And you just take a look throughout college basketball, it was really like the SEC and the SWAC that were the most rough three-point shooting teams in all of college basketball. And how much do you think that a lot of teams here in the offseason realize this and have decided to go out and address sort of that issue? Because even with Tennessee, they bring in a guy that I mentioned before, Dalton Connect, 20 point per game score over at Northern Colorado. to be able to address those needs. Just take a look at a team like Georgia. They have completely revamped their roster. I actually think that they're on the uptick. Florida, they've made some big moves, bringing in Walter Clayton as well. How much do you think these SEC teams have looked themselves in the mirror and thought, man, we might need a little bit more three-point shooting if we're going to, for one, be able to ascend in the SEC, and two, make that big run in March?
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's not even necessarily an SEC thing. It's just the way the game is evolving. And you look at Alabama as an example of that as well. But even Kentucky, it feels like a broken record. You get to the end of each season and it's like, okay, who's going to be the go-to shooter? Who's going to be the go-to shooter? You know, last offseason, Antonio Reeves was supposed to solve that problem. The offseason prior to that, it was supposed to be Kellen Grady. I think that is important. But again, every team's going to have off shooting nights. You can aim for that all you want, but I think the past season and even the success or unsuccess, I think how far Alabama or Tennessee, whomever made it in the tournament, Alabama looked like a national championship team, but you have a cold shooting night. You know, you have to rely on other things as well. So I think building an entire roster. But yeah, that's something I think was a big lesson learned for Kentucky these past two seasons. There's not one shooter going to come in and just solve all the problems. Even just how the game has evolved to defend three-point shooters. It's hard to kind of get a standout sharpshooter guy like a J.J. Redick when he was in school.
Absolutely. And while I talk about the SEC being a little bit cold with regards to their three-point shooting last year, a lot of that is because the three-point shooting defense of the SEC was truly second to none last season as well. Going up against teams like Mississippi State, Alabama on a night-in and night-out basis, that is very difficult to say the least. And Anna, I know that you do a great job taking a look at Kentucky. You do a great job taking a look at the entirety of the SEC, taking a look at all fronts over there. BBN tonight is something that you will find on Channel 18 Lexington News. I know that you do a great job over there, and I know that you've got a lot of things that you've got to do this offseason. Take a look at football, take a look at basketball, list goes on and on. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter. That's Tarullo, my last name, T-A-R-U-L-L-O, tweets, Tarullo tweets. I think I might be making a change here pretty soon, maybe staying in Lexington, maybe moving to a different market. So I would love to keep everybody posted and for everybody to follow along, especially my college basketball fans. That is just my favorite sport to keep up with, women's and men. So please follow along at Tarullo Tweets. I'll be happy to keep you all updated on what's next for me.
And as we all know, it came to the forefront in very late March / early April, SEC basketball in terms of the women's front as well. That was very good as LSU was able to take down a national title this last year as well. And the women's game in general just has become a very good product as well. So if you're looking for just a little bit in terms of men's and women's basketball, a little bit in terms of college football, Anna does an absolutely amazing job. This was her first time on this podcast, hopefully not last. Her insight was absolutely incredible. So big thanks, Anna, for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Visa Family Podcast. Coming up next, it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes we saw in college basketball on Friday.
Be selected number one. Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Ghost Gift Seats with myself, Greg Apes Peterson, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. A big thanks to Anna Tarullo for joining me in the last segment. This was the first time getting her on the show, and she brought the goods. That was absolutely tremendous. She does nice work over at BBN Tonight. You're able to find that if you're out there in the Kentucky area on the local NBC affiliate, Channel 18 over there. She does amazing work taking a look at the SEC, taking a look at Kentucky, and was great to be able to get her on the show. So a big thanks to Anna for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Soups. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw in college basketball over the last 24 hours as we saw quite a few NBA draft decisions come down, and I think some were a little bit more surprising than others. This is one that I don't think the shock level is going to be overly high on, but Nigel Pack, he decided that he was going to be withdrawing from the NBA draft and he is going to be returning to Miami. For Nigel Pack, if he played the way that he did in the NCAA tournament, I think that he probably would have stayed in the NBA draft. He was a little bit up and down throughout the season, but you could tell that towards back half of the campaign, he was really able to find what he was looking to do with Miami, as he averaged about 13.5 points per contest. He gave out 2.5 assists, little bit over a steal per game, but was really able to round into form towards the back half of the season. We're going to call it from January 21st on. So this is the final 18 games of the campaign. Shot 43% from three-point range, 1.2 steals, about 15.8 points per contest. So, I mean, when it came to crunch time for this team, he was able to do an absolutely amazing job. You take a look at the first few games prior to that, and he was a little bit shaky for Miami. First 17 games of the season, shot more around 37.5% for three, was averaging 11.5 points per contest. So he got better as the season went along. If you're a fan of the Miami Hurricanes, you have to be very happy about that. And I do think that Nigel Pack returning, it is the correct move for him. And it is absolutely massive for a Miami team that I think it's going to be tough for them to be able to get back to the Final Four. But this is a big cog for them looking to be able to do so. George Gerard decided that he was going to withdraw from the NBA draft and he is going to be going to Clemson. This is no shock whatsoever. I'm pretty much reporting broken news here because he had already decided like a week or two ago that he was going to be going to Clemson. You knew that he wasn't going to be staying in the NBA draft process, but still, he officially made it official that he is not going to be staying in the NBA draft. Braden Podsmetsky, he is going to be staying in the NBA draft, and this to me is not too much of a surprise. I'm seeing him rise up draft boards, a guy from Muskego, Wisconsin, who was able to register 20 points per contest this last year at Santa Clara. Just a really awesome athlete. Shot 43.8% from three, 6'5", a little bit of a combo player, 3.5 assists, 1.8 steals, 8.8 rebounds per game. This guy was absolutely awesome last year, so I do think that is the correct move that he is going to be staying in the NBA draft, and Muhammad Gay is going to be staying in the NBA draft as well. I figured that this was going to be the case when he decided that he was not going to be playing in that NIT game for Washington State, and for Muhammad Gay, really good versatility. I think that he's going to have a nice professional career, 14.5 points, 8.5 boards, someone that's capable of popping threes, only shot about 28% from three, but as a 6'11", a little bit of a combo player, nice to have that in your tool bag. Was able to average about 2 assists per contest as well, relatively solid passer for a big guy. Kudus Wahab is going to be withdrawing from the NBA draft, and he is going to be heading on over to Penn State for this upcoming season. Kudus Wahab is going to be utilizing his 27th year of college eligibility after last season at Georgetown. He had 9.5 points, 7 rebounds, less than a block per contest. I don't know what water he was looking to test, but he was testing the waters, and he decided, you know what, these waters are not necessarily so favorable. So he's going to be heading on over to Penn State. Very good news for Penn State, to say the least. That gives them a nice force down low, but still, this was something that you were sort of expecting. This one I really was not expecting. Manny Bates is going to be staying in the NBA draft. Manny Bates' stock was really high a few years ago before he got injured at NC State. This was not necessarily the most savory of years for him as he was with the Butler Bulldogs this past season. 11.5 points, 5.5 boards, 2 blocks per contest in his 2 years at NC State. He was registering more like 2.7 blocks per contest. He's never really been a nimble force on offense, but has always been rock solid on defense. I don't know if this is necessarily the world's greatest move for him. I think that he might just be looking to start up his clock, be able to collect those NBA paychecks, but you know what? Actually, I don't think that they are going to be NBA paychecks. I think that they might be G League paychecks. They might be paychecks from insert your country here, but that said, he's going to be able to collect those professional paychecks. I think that that's the best way of going about things. And this was big for Georgia Tech, as typically you're not able to land a commit here in late May, what have you, with regards to some of these freshmen, but they were able to do so. This was a former Rutgers commit in Bay Ndogo, and he has decided that he is going to be going to Georgia Tech. I haven't necessarily been too impressed by what Georgia Tech has been able to do in the transfer portal. I know that there's a lot of people that they really do like what Georgia Tech has been able to do. My biggest pushback is you really don't have a lot of explosive guards. You're bringing in a lot of guys from the mid-major level, like a Tyshawn Claude, for example, was able to put up 14 points, 8 boards per game while he was over at Western Carolina. But Western Carolina, that's a big, giant step down from what you're going to be experiencing in the ACC. But Ndogo, he's 6'10", 220 pounds on 3 sports. Our good friend in Garrett Tipton has him rated as a 4-star guy who's a top 150 prospect. Bringing in someone like him, I think that this is absolutely massive for them. Not a guy that you're going to be looking to have a whole bunch of versatility or anything like that, but he is certainly going to be able to help out this team down low. Now, with Georgia Tech, I do still feel like They need to add a little bit more to the backcourt because they have added a whole bunch of frontcourt guys. I mentioned it with Tyson Claude. Ebenezer Duwana is coming in from NC State. Kawasi Reeves, he's a 6'6" combo player that he doesn't necessarily have too great of a jump shot. He's able to do quite a bit down low for you. You've got Tafar Gapere, 6'9", a little bit of a combo player coming in from UMass as well. Jalen Forrest, he's going to be looking to give this team some scoring in the backcourt. Question marks there, though. I do like Amari Abraham. It's a completely rebuilt roster with Georgia Tech, but still, Georgia Tech, they have really been able to revamp this roster during the offseason, so I do like the moves that are being made there. Ivan Odriogo, he last season was playing over at Grand Canyon. He has decided that he is going to be going to Cal Baptist, and he is going to be becoming a Lancer for Cal Baptist. Been a very good last 48 or so hours for them. They also brought in Zach Reitzel, who was playing at Marquette this last season, and for Grand Canyon, they actually did a very good job of being able to replace his production, as a few days ago, they bring in Luke War, who was playing over at Oregon this past season. They also bring in Sidney Curry, who was seeing meaningful minutes at Louisville last year as well, so they're going to be fine down low. But with Odriogo, you know what you're going to be able to get. He's 6'9", 245 pounds, and he's out there for one reason. He is there to rebound. This last season at Grand Canyon, about 5 points, but 6 boards per contest, a little bit under a block per game. You'd like to see him be a little bit more efficient with his shot. Has never shot above 50% from the floor, despite the fact that he doesn't take any threes whatsoever, so that's a little bit of an issue. But I mean, this guy was able to do a very solid job towards the back half of the season of just being able to reel in a whole bunch of boards. You take a look at him from February 21st on, he was able to pull in there 7 boards per contest while averaging just 4.2 points per game. So a little bit of a work of progress on the offensive front, but this fits exactly what Cal Baptist is looking to do. So good on them. Sam Iamford is having themselves a really nice transfer portal season, and they are bringing in Ryland Jones. Ryland Jones, not a guy that's going to light it up in terms of the scoreboard, but someone that's able to dole it out. Last year at Utah State, in limited minutes, he was able to give out 3.3 assists and 1.2 turnovers a game. Did shoot 36% from three-point range himself, only about 4.2 points per contest. I go back to what he was able to do in his 2 years at Utah. At the Pac-12 level, 7.5 points, 4.3 assists at 2.1 turnovers per game while shooting 36% from three. This guy is a game changer for Samford. He is going to need to work on his ball skills a little bit, as he was averaging a little bit less than a steal per game at Utah State last season, but he has shown in the past to be able to generate a little bit over a steal per contest. Samford, one of their lifebloods, is always being able to be able to get those turnovers, have active hands on that front. And I do think that he is going to be able to fit the mold that they are looking to do. But hey, man, this Samford team, they've been able to do a very solid job. They bring in Dallas Grazani, one of the best E2 players in all of college basketball from Nova Southeastern. Garrett Ix is someone I really liked at Alabama A&M. So Samford, they're having themselves a nice little transfer portal season. A team that is going to be looking to revamp themselves as well is the Howard Bison after they made the NCAA tournament, and they're bringing on the senior citizen in Seth Towns. Seth Towns, coming back for eighths in the college basketball realm, has decided that he is going to be playing for Howard. He was the Ivy League Player of the Year during the 2017-18 season and has played 25 games since then, averaging 3.8 points per contest for Ohio State. Took off pretty much 3 out of the last 4 years due to medical red shirts. I mean, if Howard could get what Harvard did out of Seth Towns a few years ago, during that 2017-18 season, he averaged 16 points. He was able to shoot 44% for three, 5 boards per contest. I mean, this is going to be absolutely massive for them. There's a lot of question marks here, though, but I am here for it. It is going to be a lot of fun, and hey, if he wants to play college basketball, I'm willing to bet on his game. So there is that, as we did see Marcel McCreary decide that he is going to be going from Air Force and he is going to be heading on over to Northern Colorado. So he is going to be staying within the state with McCreary. Didn't necessarily see the world's greatest amount of minutes when he was at Air Force. Was a nice little come off the bench, pop a few threes sort of guy. Shot 34% from distance with about 4 points per contest this last season. So we shall see what he's able to bring to the table for another Colorado team that they have to reload a little bit. They lost Dalton Connect in the transfer portal to Tennessee, so a little bit of an issue there. But I do think that this is going to be a Northern Colorado team that if they're going to be looking to be able to ascend, they are going to need to do so on the defensive front. We have seen this a few times where there's a highly touted Arkansas guy that sees no minutes and they decide to go to Arkansas State. That happened with Desi Sills a few years ago. Now it's happening with Darian Ford, former top 100 recruit that just didn't see a lot of minutes this last year at Arkansas. Averaged less than a point per contest. He's decided that he is going to be going to Arkansas State. And Arkansas State, very silently putting together a very nice transfer portal haul themselves, as with Arkansas State, they are now bringing in a former top 100 recruit that you got to figure he's going to be a little bit more of a combo guard. He's able to dole out the ball a little bit, but he's not necessarily like some supreme facilitator or anything like that, but someone that I think is going to be able to come in. I think that he's going to be able to help this team out moving forward. They've been able to fortify themselves a little bit more down low as well. I do like the moves that are being made by this program, and I do think that this is going to be a move of impact for them. This is also a move of impact. How about Dominic Bruton? He was last season, not Tootin, but he was Bruton over at Elkhorn State, and he has decided that he is going to be going to Cal State Fullerton. With Cal State Fullerton, they lose Raquel Reitzel, their top scorer from last season, and Bruton certainly is not going to be able to replace that, but he was one of the best sixth men in the SWAC last season. Averaged 12 points, 3.5 boards, steal per contest. Shot from 3-point range, only about 25% from 3. So, obviously, he's not going to be a replacement for Mr. Reitzel, but is able to do a very good job with regards to his on-ball defending, something that is big out there in the Big West. I think that he is going to be able to do a nice job and be able to integrate himself with this system. So, I think that this is going to be a nice add for them. Chris Moncrief, who was playing last season at Evansville, he has decided that he is going to be going to St. Francis of Pennsylvania. With St. Francis of Pennsylvania, the biggest loss for them is their main man from last year in Josh Cohen, who is just absolutely stuffing the statue with right around 22 points. 8 boards per contest is out of the fold, but Moncrief, he could be a little bit of a role player for this team. He was at Evansville last year, only averaged about 2.5 points per contest, so certainly not someone that was really a main guy for them, but he did see a few minutes towards back half of the season. If you take a look at the last 13 games of the campaign, he was a little bit more trustworthy for the team. He was able to ascend to about 4 points and a steal per contest. He's just in a really bad circumstance with Evansville. They were looking to build themselves up year number one. They weren't able to do necessarily a whole ton with that, but I do think that things are trending a little bit upward for them moving forward. And then we saw UW-Milwaukee land an Old Dominion transfer in Phazion Fields. Fields was a nice little do-it-all player at 6'10", right around 5 points, 4 boards per contest. Not a guy that's going to go out there and shoot threes or anything like that, but a very good rim protector. Should be able to help out a UW-Milwaukee defense that wasn't necessarily the world's greatest last year. You're going to find that in the Rising League. It's very hard to have really too much of an assemblance of defense whatsoever, but should be able to help them out on that front with UW-Milwaukee. They do play at one of the faster systems in all of college basketball, so Phazion Fields coming over from Old Dominion is probably going to need to work on his conditioning a little bit, but if he's able to do so, should be able to help UW-Milwaukee perhaps go to the next level. And then we saw a pair of guys, actually a trio of guys, enter in the transfer portal as well. The transfer portal cutoff date was supposed to be Thursday, but we shall see what happens here. Cam Spencer is a graduate transfer, so he should be able to go past those rules, as he last season was at Rutgers. And for Cam Spencer, he didn't quite put up the 18.9 points per contest that he did 2 seasons ago at Loyola Maryland, but he was able to give Rutgers last season in the Big Ten 13 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, shot 43.5% from 3-point range. He did it all for this bunch, so I think that he is going to be a very highly coveted guy in the transfer portal. It's just not going well for Rutgers at all, because I was mentioning Bay Ndogo going over to Georgia Tech. He was originally a Rutgers commit, so yeah, it's been the bit of misery for them. Austin Johnson, he was playing this last season over at North Carolina A&T. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal with Johnson. I think that he has a very interesting upside, as I do think that he's going to be able to do a nice job with wherever he lands. As this last year, 5.5 points, 5.5 boards. He was a starter for the team all season long. He was able to supply a little bit over a block per contest as well. So I do think that there's quite a bit of value with him. And I do think that there's value with Amari Davis as well. He was spending last season over at Wright State, and got to figure that with the welcoming back of Tanner Holden, that might have had a little bit of something to do with Amari Davis entering in the transfer portal. But just as Oppen himself, since he had a big year 2 years ago with UW-Green Bay, during the 2020-21 season, 17 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, steal and a half per contest. He's never been a good 3-point shooter. Career 23.5% three-point shooter, but last year he fell off the map. He went from averaging 9 points per game at Missouri to averaging 8.5 points per contest with Wright State. That is something wrong, and I recognize he's not a good three-point shooter. You need to shoot better than 7.1% from three-point range, but a guy that has put up 17-plus points per game in his career, two-time All-Horizon League performer, now out there in the transfer portal. And we've got a lot of hoopla happening in college basketball right now. These draft decisions, they're starting to come down, and I've got you guys covered with all of them. And once we get a little bit more clarity as to what these rosters are going to be, going to get you guys some conference previews. So if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letter CM. I mean, it does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. A big thanks to Anna Tarullo. Does great work out there in the great state of Kentucky over there at Big Blue Nation. Taking a look at all things SEC and Kentucky basketball. She joined me in the last segment. Coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, which means I'll be coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Selected number one. Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.